Inconceivable!
Will you please act like you have more than a two-word vocabulary?
Is there air? You don't know!
And now, a yak.
Yak?
Hey, don't touch that dial. You found Secular Yakking.
I'm Robert.
And I'm Amy.
After years.
No, many years of yakking at each other.
We're here to yak at you.
So sit back and enjoy the yakking.
Welcome back, everyone. Hope you had a wonderful week. We're still on vacation, but that's okay because we've got a wonderful interview with you with Dr. Gleb Sapirsky of Intentional Insights. And he's here to talk about his pro-truth pledge. And it's something that we highly endorse. We'll be back next week with our regular recording. And until then, enjoy this yakking session. And welcome to another instance of our yakking session.
Yep.
Yeah. Get another one. Kind of cool.
Mm-hmm. We tend to do those from time to time.
Yeah. This session, we have a really cool guest. We have Dr. Gleb Sapirsky, who runs the Rational Politics Project at Intentional Insights, a nonprofit devoted to promoting rational thinking and wise decision-making in politics and other life areas. The main focus of the Rational Politics Project is the Pro-Truth Pledge, which aims to reverse the tide of lies and promote truth through combining behavior science crowdsourcing. A best-selling author, he wrote Find Your Purpose Using Science and other books, and is the author of the forthcoming The Alternative to Alternative Facts, Fighting Pro-Truth Politics with Behavioral Science. He regularly publishes pieces in the topics in the most prominent venues such as Time, New York Daily News, Psychology Today, reason-oriented venues such as The Humanist, Skeptical Inquirer, Free Inquiry, American Atheist Magazine, and Patheos. He has appeared as a guest on mainstream venues such as network TV, including affiliates of Fox, ABC, and others, radio stations such as NPR, WBAI, KGO, and 700 WLW, as well as reason-oriented podcasts such as The Raw Men Podcast, Scathing Atheist, Anthropology, Sensibly Speaking, The Humanist Hour. He researches decision-making and emotional and social intelligence in politics and business as a professor at Ohio State. He is also a speaker and consultant on the topics and is available to speak to reason-oriented groups through the AHA, SSA, and CFI speakers' bureaus. Welcome to Secular Yakking.
Thanks for the welcome, Rob. Appreciate it.
Oh, you're a very busy man.
Thank you, Amy. I try. There's a lot of world to save and very limited time to do it.
Yes, that's true.
Yeah, that is incredibly true. So, well, let's start with the obvious. Let's find out what the Pro-Truth Pledge is, because that's what we're here to find out.
Excellent. So I would encourage listeners to go to protruthpledge.org. Again, that's protruthpledge.org, no dashes, so they can follow along with us as we talk about the Pro-Truth Pledge. Well, and the Pro-Truth Pledge, yeah.
I was going to say, that's where I'm at, so I can follow along with
excellent.
You.
Excellent. Perfect. So the Pro-Truth Pledge is meant to reverse the tide of lies in our politics and promote truth in our political system. And that's the goal of the pledge. That's the goal of this project. It basically does so by changing the incentives for public figures to make them more likely to tell the truth and less likely to lie. Basically, anyone who takes the pledge, any public figure who takes the pledge will be held accountable by volunteers who are part of the Pro-Truth Pledge project, and they will also be rewarded for truth-oriented behavior with reputational rewards of various sorts. Now, our aspiration is to get as many people as possible, all the listeners of this podcast, all the people everywhere who care about the truth, even a tiny bit, to take the pledge and who want to change the just culture of lies in our political system, to take the pledge and provide the momentum, the public pressure for public figures such as politicians, journalists, radio show hosts, and so on, to take the pledge based on your commitment and desire to bring truth into politics.
Well, that is certainly cool stuff. I looked over the website. In fact, I signed on a couple weeks ago.
Excellent.
when I first, I forgot where I heard about it, but I saw it online or something. I was like, oh, that is kind of cool. I'd like to take the pledge to truth.
There you go. Excellent. Yeah. Did you mark yourself as a public figure?
I'm not sure. I'll have to go back and check. I may have.
Oh, you definitely should, because that gives you the credibility you deserve. So one of the things that folks can look at, if we go to the FAQ number 3, what are the rewards for taking the pledge, if you're a media figure or a thought leader, then people can put in a paragraph about themselves, about why they chose to take the pro-truth pledge. In fact, if you just click on the orange button, take the pledge, you can go down to the very bottom and you could see that there's a paragraph for people to explain, who are public figures, to explain why they chose to take the pledge and give free links to their online media content. So that can include things like podcast links, Patreon page if you have a Patreon account, Facebook, Twitter, and so on. And for other public figures, let's say for a politician, we have a number of politicians who take the pro-truth pledge. That can include their campaign page, their contributions page, their online, you know, media presence page. So all of these things. Or first, other people, let's say public commentators, journalists, that can include their LinkedIn account, their official blog, and so on. So anything that they want to share. And then that gets sent out in a monthly newsletter to all the people who took the pro-truth pledge. And this is why it's especially important for everyone to take the pro-truth pledge, because that creates a bigger reputational reward for public figures who sign up for the pledge. And so we figure that the early adopters, like you, Rob, will be people who already care about the truth, that who are already committed to it. But right. In order to get more people who, for whom this is not, you know, a strong pull, just the internal motivator to bring truth into our society, we need people like us who care about the truth to sign on to the pledge and participate in it, and to provide an audience for these public figures to have that blurb be sent to them and see that these public figures are truth-oriented. So that's one of the reputational rewards offered by the pledge.
Cool. I'll definitely have to look into that, make sure I'm signed up properly. So you also said that your volunteers hold people take the pledge accountable. How do you guys manage to do that?
So if you look at the third FAQ, how are pledge takers held accountable? So it describes what happens, how do you actually violate the pledge? So the pledge describes 13 truth-oriented behaviors, and the way that the pledge is violated is when somebody shares misinformation, a false statement. Now, you know, anyone can make a false statement. I can say, you know, that it's August right now when it's actually June. You know, that's a false statement. So most false statements by people who are really trying to take the pledge, taking it seriously, are just going to be mistakes. And what we ask people to do is not, what we ask people to do is not to play gotcha. It's not like, hey, Gleb, you're totally wrong. You're lying to us. It's, you know, it's June. It's not August. You liar, liar, pants on fire. That's not how we want to. That's not what we want to happen. So we describe there how what we want is for people who are volunteers for the pro-truth pledge and whose volunteer role is to hold public figures accountable, to approach those public figures privately and say, hey, you made this statement. I'm not sure if it's correct. Can you clarify what you said? Maybe I misheard something. Maybe I don't know what's going on. Maybe you misstated it, and so on. Now, usually it gets resolved at that level. So, for example, we had a politician who is a congressperson who is running for Congress in Idaho, take the pro-truth pledge, and then he posted a tweet of Donald Trump saying something stupid on his Facebook wall, like mistreating disabled kids. So in a tweet. Then we couldn't find that tweet in Donald Trump's, the tweet wasn't, we weren't able to find it in Donald Trump's feed. And so checked with the politician, and he couldn't find it. And so then he made a retraction. He said, you know, he edited his Facebook post to say that, well, because I took the approach, this pledge for truth, you know, I am stating that now I'm not sure that this is an actual tweet that Donald Trump tweeted, or maybe it's a fake tweet that somebody photoshopped to look like Donald Trump's tweet. You know, Donald Trump might have deleted the tweet, or it may have been photoshopped. So we don't know. But he made that statement. And that's kind of the large majority of people who take the pro-truth pledge will just make an honest mistake like that and they'll take back their words, which is fine, which is great. We celebrate that. Now, in case somebody refuses to take back their words after multiple attempts by a number of people, and the whole process is described in that FAQ, what goes through with multiple attempts, number of people, then that's when we figure that the person is deliberately intending to mislead, lying. And that's what the pledge is designed to prevent, not kind of, you know, false statements made out of innocent naivete or, you know, lack of knowledge or something like that, or misspeaking. It's made to prevent lying. And so when we see by somebody failing to retract obviously incorrect information that they lied, they intended to deceive, that's when we kind of, the clause are brought out. So we issue a media advisory to all the relevant media venues. So for example, if this was the guy in Idaho, we would issue a media advisory to all the media venues in his congressional district. And then we would also send an action alert to, and this is why it's especially important for people to sign up to action alerts and email and notifications who signed the pledge. We send it to all people who took the pro-truth pledge who are going to be located in this person's congressional district for them to tweet this person, email the person, write the person, call the person, protest the person, whatever, meet with the person, and also write letters to the editor, basically raise a big stink about this person being in contempt of the pro-truth pledge and, you know, lying deliberately, giving all the evidence about how he tried to get this person to retract his words and how he wouldn't. So that's a pretty big media hit, a pretty big reputational hit, and we figure that people are much better off not signing the pledge at all if they intend to lie. So yeah, that's how we're filtering people.
Yeah, I would certainly agree with you there. I imagine you haven't convinced our president to sign this pledge.
We haven't tried yet.
Yeah,
I mean, a number of us have tweeted to him to sign the pledge, but we haven't made a formal approach to him.
Yeah, in this age of alternative facts, it's going to be somewhat difficult.
Yeah, well, our aspiration is to get early adopters, and we figure the reason-oriented community are going to be early adopters. And what we are trying to do right now, what we're focusing on, is setting up a network of people across the United States and in Canada, in the UK, but mainly United States, to in every city, to have organizers for the pro-truth pledge. And so some cities are ahead of others. So for example, Columbus, where I'm based, we already have some volunteers, so we have a team of people who are going to various, mainly from the local reason-oriented community, the Humanist Community of Central Ohio, which I'm a proud member, and it's going to various local festivals and meetups and indivisible group events and so on to get signups for the pledge. And we're getting both, mainly liberals, but also conservatives signed up for the pledge because they see that it's a good idea. You know, they can all agree that, yes, we should practice these truth-oriented behaviors. Yes, this is a good idea to have truth in our politics. So we're essentially doing the early adopters first, and we have, you know, a group that's also well-established in Washington State, and they're spreading just because we happen to have some activists there, and also in Los Angeles. So our aspiration is to get activists across the United States. And we have a process where people can easily gather signatures, go into local events, and the more signatures we gather, the more the ball is rolling.
Right. We may have to look up that group here in Washington State and hook up with them sometime.
Yeah.
Where are you two based?
We're just north of Seattle.
Okay. Yeah, so they are in eastern Washington State, so it should be a couple of hours from you.
Oh, okay, yeah. Yeah.
That's weird. It's in eastern Washington. I would really expect it here.
That's pretty conservative over there.
I really expected it over here in western Washington.
Well, what often happens is that groups that are more conservative, areas that are more conservative, tend to have a stronger reason-oriented presence because they need that more.
That's true.
Yeah, so that's what you would tend to find.
That is absolutely true. We do see that here, so yeah.
Yes, we do.
So that's,
I think this is a really good idea. I find it kind of disturbing that we have to do this to get people to, you know, tell the truth. You just, I guess for myself, I would always, if I were doing anything like that, I would be telling the truth the whole time. But it's amazing how many campaign on lies and really big ones.
Well, we just went through probably the worst campaign in history for lies.
That is true.
Yeah. So in terms of, I'm actually not surprised because this is just how people behave. My research in history of behavioral science shows that people are very inclined to believe in comforting lies.
Yes.
This is just how people are. I would be surprised if it wasn't the case. You know, if we have a truth-oriented society, that's a very surprising thing because people are much more inclined in their natural state to believe in lies. We have to be trained in rational critical thinking. Rational critical thinking is not intuitive. Our gut reactions, our intuitions, are not trained to believe in the truth. They're trained to win over arguments, and they're trained to, you know, have reproduction and food and shelter and social dominance and reputation. You know, nowhere in that list do you see reason and critical thinking.
That is true. Yeah, it's kind of evolutionary that we tend to reach for that is easily believed.
There are people with certain personalities who tend to be more skeptical and tend to be more questioning, and that's why those people with those personalities tend to wind up in the reason-oriented movement, or at least among the nuns, the non-religious. Most people, they just tend to let it go and not think about the deep things and not question.
Yeah, that was my question, you know, the majority being that way, but there are the few that do question.
Yes, there are the few that do question, and that's actually also evolutionarily determined because from a group tribal perspective, it's beneficial for there to be some people who question the established order for things to change and for things to evolve.
That's good because I'm thinking I don't think the way the majority does because I don't buy the you need to tell me the truth. I don't care what it is. That's kind of how I am.
Yeah,
that's not the majority of people. The majority of people just want to get by and you know be quiet and so on. And so, this is in essence what we're doing is a project of civilizing. From the evolutionary natural baseline to a more truth-oriented rational thinking perspective. That's a hard project. That's a hard thing to do. You know, the old colloquial phrase of a lie travels around the world before truth has time to get its boots on is accurately describes a situation which is natural, kind of that's a natural state. But just because it's natural doesn't mean it's desirable. This is so often, people so often tend to make this mistake. These are natural remedies. Well, heck, I prefer a scientific remedy that actually cures me.
Yeah, I agree with that.
You know, I don't want a natural remedy. I want something that works.
Yeah, in general, I would prefer something that works.
Yes.
So, you know, it doesn't matter to me whether it's scientific or natural. You know, I don't have any preference for naturality as a thing. I want something that's effective. And so this is the more rational perspective, but it's a deliberate perspective. It's a cultivated one. And so a preference for truth, except for a small minority of people, is a cultivated perspective, is one that we have to establish. And the pro-truth pledge does that. It helps. It's what's shown by research to help do these things. So, for example, there is research showing that if people are given information on recycling, you know, you have two groups. One group is just given information on recycling, you know, how to do recycling and so on. Another group is not given information on recycling. They just know that recycling happens. And a third group is given information on recycling and commits pledges to recycle. You have the control group doing relatively little recycling. Then the group that has been given information on recycling has been doing a little bit more recycling. And the group that commits to doing recycling does significantly more recycling. So this is kind of the aspiration of getting as many people as possible to commit to the pro-truth pledge, then these people will be more likely, according to the evidence in behavioral science, they will be committed to doing the truth-oriented behaviors if they pledge to the truth. So that's one.
That makes sense to me because it holds them accountable.
Right. Yeah, people want to be inherently want to be seen as honest, right?
Yes.
Even though they're willing to accept lies, they want to be seen as honest.
they want to be seen as honest for reputational reasons. So, right. this is another aspect of the pledge. When people take the pledge, we encourage them. There are a couple of other things that go on. We encourage them to share about it on their social media so that people know that they took the pledge. When they post articles, we encourage them to say, because I took the pro-truth pledge, I checked this article, I made sure it's accurate, and the headline represents the article well. And so that both gives their posting more credibility than Joe Schmo, you know, over in the next block, and it holds them more accountable so that other people can say, you know, oh, hey, that article wasn't actually accurate. Are you really living up to your pledge? So it gives them more of an impact. So we both get people to behave in a more truth-oriented way, and the people who are more truth-oriented get to have a stronger impact on public discourse by doing so.
Cool. Absolutely.
So what if you run into someone who hasn't taken the pro-truth pledge, right, but is you've discovered they're blatantly lying? What's your best
approach?
Tactic to get them to understand what they're doing?
So,
because sometimes it's difficult. I mean, I'll get into some conversations, and it's.
Often what works well is to show people the pro-truth pledge and see if they would be willing to abide, to sign it and agree to its contents and behave in these ways. Now, if they don't, are you really going to be interested in spending your time arguing with them?
Generally, no.
No. So that's actually a really good filter for people. For, you know, do you want to spend your time arguing with these people? Now, for myself, I have a specific reason to spend time with these people. So, for example, just before I did your interview, I talked with Newstalk 614, which is a local conservative radio station, which is, you know, describes itself as Team Trump. Now, I talked to these people in order to get them to update their beliefs toward a more accurate perspective. So I do research on how to talk to conservatives in such a way as to get them to update toward the truth. But that's kind of a very, I don't want to say niche thing. It's a, you need to know the techniques for how to do it, and you need to have a specific approach that would appeal to conservatives. If you just want to have a real intellectual discussion where you're not being strategic and not trying to specifically talk to your audience in a way that you know is going to try to lead them toward the truth using specific techniques, then you're just best off showing people the pro-truth pledge and asking them if they'll be willing to abide by it. And if not, then just not talking to them.
Maybe I should try that again to less online arguments.
Yeah. I mean, that's definitely what people do. When they engage in online arguments, they click a link to the pro-truth pledge and say, hey, if you're going to be willing to sign this pledge, which I signed, I'll be happy to talk to you. If not, then I don't think we should be talking because I don't want to waste my time.
Yeah, that's exactly how you should handle it.
I might actually start doing that because I get rather frustrated occasionally.
Yes, you really do.
Yeah, I mean, why stress yourself out with these unpleasant emotions? Yeah.
And the conversations go nowhere.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly. It's like it's just the flame war and the conversation goes nowhere. Whereas if you get them to abide by the tenets, you can always say, hey, I noticed that you're not, you know, abiding by this behavior out of these 13 behaviors. You know, why is that? And then, okay. So you can have a clear understanding.
Right. Well, so let's say we do get them to sign the pledge, right? But when we get into conversation, but they reject the facts that are presented. What would work there?
So when you go to the pledge, one of the aspects of the pledge defines what is misinformation, what is accurate information, what is misinformation for the sake of the pledge. So some things, like I said, are obvious. You know, it's not August right now, it's June. So, you know, everyone can agree on that. Now, there are things that are more under interpretation. And for those two, we have two areas that are considered misinformation. One is something that goes against credible, established fact-checking websites. And we have a list of those fact-checking websites that are considered credible, reputable, high-quality websites. And we actually, we decided not to do the work ourselves of evaluating these, but outsource this work to Facebook. Facebook has a program of working with a number of websites to do fact-checking on fake news. And so we're just working with the same websites that Facebook is using. So whenever Facebook adds a website, we add it. Whenever it takes it away, we take it away. That way, the pro-truth pledge can't really be accused of partisan bias. So, you know, we're just, okay, we're, if you have a problem with one of the websites, you know, take it up with Facebook, not with us. So we're just using Facebook. That's one. So fact-checking websites. And the second one is the scientific consensus. So the scientific consensus is the best thing that we, science is the best method that we as humans have of knowing the truth. And science, it functions in such a way that if we have a scientific consensus on something, that's pretty much the best method we have of knowing that this thing is true. So for example, you know, human-caused climate change. We have a strong scientific consensus that there is substantial anthropocenic, meaning human-caused climate change. And that's, yeah, if anybody goes against that, then we call that a lie. We call it misinformation. If somebody says that vaccines cause autism, that's misinformation. Again, scientific consensus. And a whole bunch of other things where the scientific consensus is clear, and you can tell the scientific consensus from the, you know, things like meta-analysis of a number of studies and polls of scientists where over 90% of scientists agree on something.
Yeah, cool. I like that. I just found that on the website. So it's definitely laid out pretty nicely there. You got anything else, Sam? Any more questions?
No, I actually found out a lot.
Yeah.
So it was very informal for me.
Yeah.
What about you, Amy? Do you think you'll take the approach of pledge?
Oh, yeah. I have no problem with that.
Well, I'll get her hooked up later tonight.
I was going to say, yeah.
She doesn't do computers.
I don't do computers, almost fair ever.
Fair enough. She checks her email, like, once a year.
Fair enough. One of the things that podcast hosts like you have found useful is to do a little, put a website badge in your podcast that you took the pro-truth pledge.
Oh.
So people like Aaron Ra and so on. And then make a little blurb at the beginning of each podcast that you took the pro-truth pledge and ask your listeners to hold you accountable. That both gives you more credibility with your listeners because they know that you're being more honest than that, you know, compared to the average Joe podcaster out there, and also helps spread word about the pro-truth pledge.
I think that's a good idea.
We might just throw that into our intro somewhere.
Yeah, I think that's a good idea.
Yeah, it's a great idea.
Excellent.
So if people wanted to get a hold of you in any way to ask you more questions, how would they do so?
They'd email me at GLEB at intentionalinsights.org. So Intentional Insights is the nonprofit where I serve as the volunteer president, in addition to serving as a professor, assistant professor at Ohio State University. So intentionalinsights.org, they can check out that website for a lot of articles, links, videos, and so on, devoted to the Rational Politics Project. And my email again is GLEB at intentionalinsights.org. And I encourage everyone to go to protruthpledge.org and take the pledge.
Cool. And we'll have both of those in the show notes. You finally got one right.
I got that part.
Wow. Well, thanks for coming in and informing us about the pro-truth pledge. I can't say that.
You always tongue-tie on everything.
I don't know. It's weird.
No worries.
So, again, thanks for coming on, and maybe we'll talk again soon.
Yes, yeah. Thank you. It was very informative.
I'm very glad, and it was a pleasure, Rob and Amy. You have a good day.
Thank you. You too.
We always like to hear your feedback, so leave us a voicemail at 704-802-YAK or an email at podcast@secularyakking.com.
More input.
All comments are welcome. We like to hear the good, the bad, and the ugly. You also can find us on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and Google+.
If you like our show, head over to your podcast directory of choice and leave us a 5-star review. If you really like the show, support the show on our Patreon page.
I'd buy that for $1.
And we'll be back next week with more yakking to please your eardrums.
Bye-bye, boys!
Have fun storming the castle!
Think it'll work?
It would take a miracle.
Bye-bye!